Let us pray. O God, the Lord of life, the conqueror of death, our help in every time of trouble, who dost not willingly grieve or afflict the children of men, comfort us who mourn, and give us grace in the presence of death to worship Thee, that we may have sure hope of eternal life, and be enabled to put our whole trust in Thy goodness and mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to welcome you to Linden United Methodist Church, where we are celebrating the life of Brother Jimmy Hasty. So as we think of Brother Jimmy, I'd like to read the obituary. James Wesley, as we know him as Jimmy Hasty, was born January 24th in 1940. He died October 26, 2014. His wife is Mary Olive Hasty. His son, James Wesley Hasty Jr. His daughter, Carol Ann Hasty Flowers. Brother, Charles Howard, better known as Buddy Hasty, and his wife, Jan Carroll. His sister, Judy Kay, her husband, T.J. Kirkham. The grandchildren, Wesley Hasty, Wynn Hasty, Lizzie Hasty, Connor Elrod, and Charles Curtis. We are so grateful that we had the privilege to have Brother Jimmy, Miss Mary Olive, here in this church. And so we're grateful again that you are here to celebrate his life, to recognize who he was to you, and to celebrate his ongoing, because it is a celebration today. And so we pray that is what it will be for you. So this morning we have a song that we would all like to sing together. It's called Amazing Grace. And so we pray that you would go ahead and rise up where you are, and we will sing Amazing Grace. Okay. I don't know. It should be 378. Most of you can sing it just without the book, but if you need the book, as I read Psalm 23. And I'm reading it from the King James Version, so many of you know this. So if you know it with me, go ahead and recite it as well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou standest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
I was asked by the family if I would tell some memories of my Uncle Jimmy and the things that made him one of a kind. Uncle Jimmy would call me 3 to 4 times a week. Sometimes he would call me about that many times on one day. He was always wanting to inform me about something he saw or that he read about. I can hear him when he would call you on the phone. He'd say hello, or you'd say hello, and there'd be a kind of a pause, and he'd say, "Good morning, Jimmy Hasty here." Like you didn't know that it was him. He'd always ask, "Are you busy?" And I would say, "No, sir, I'm driving." He'd say, "Well, good, then you can listen." He was the first to explain to me how my job let me have a flexible schedule. And that's one of the reasons I remember once he called me and I was busy, and I told him, I said, "I'm in a hurry. My dad wants me to do this stuff for him, and I'm trying to get my stuff done, and it's almost dark." And Uncle Jimmy said, "You don't have time to worry about what Buddy wants you to do. You've got to handle your business, and don't you worry about what he wants. You got other stuff to do." So I kind of thought about it for a second, and he said, "Well, where are you now?" And I said, "Well, I'm coming through Greensboro." And without even thinking, he said, "Well, good, stop by and pick my pecans up. They're ready." But that was just how he was. It's like a friend of mine, Gabe Drinkard, said one time about Uncle Jimmy. He said, "Whenever you saw Mr. Jimmy riding down the road, it just made you smile and want to wave at him." He said, "Then you just wonder what he was thinking about and how long it's going to take him to get where he was going." That reminds me of another time he called me and he asked me if I could load some hay for him in Demopolis because he had moved a tractor and didn't have one there. I said, "Well, sure, it won't be any problem. Do you need anything else?" And you had to be specific with him because if you didn't, one project would lead into a lot of other ones. And it'd take your whole day up. And that's just the way it was. So he said, no, I don't need you to do anything but load that hay. That's it. Now I appreciate it. You just be there at 1 o'clock. So I got there at 1 o'clock and waited. Still didn't see him. So finally, I just decided, well, I'll load this hay up. That's all he needs to do, and I'll get gone. So I loaded hay up, no trouble, was headed out, and all of a sudden, he's turning in at the road, flagging me down. He said, "You can't be finished." I said, "Well, yes, sir, I've been here about 2 hours. I'm done." And he said, "I meant to get here. I just had everything in the world was going wrong, and I could not leave London when I wanted to. But I meant to get up here early." So, I was done with what he wanted, so I just listened to him. Then all of a sudden, he asked me, "Do you think that you can load that same hay just as good the second time as you can the first time?" And so as I was thinking with a puzzled look what he was talking about, he said, "The inside tire on that trailer's flat, and I got to spare in my pickup." So back we went to the hayfield. But those are just a few memories of Uncle Jimmy that I'll always remember. But he was always very dependable. If you ask him to help you with something or to borrow something from him, he'd never said no or that it was too much trouble. His answer was always, "It'll be ready when you get here." Now, that doesn't mean what all he had to go through to get it ready when you got there, but it would be there when you were ready. And you could also depend on him to be late wherever he was going. And he never got in a hurry, no matter how late he was. He will really be missed. But the main thing that I remember about Uncle Jimmy is that on October the 20th, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. He realized that just going to church or even joining a church didn't mean that you were saved. As the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And he was ready for the journey that we all will take one day. And I'm glad he was. There's a quote that I read one time about someone that I think is very fitting today, and I hope it will be said at my funeral as well. Jimmy wasn't perfect, but he knew Jesus.
I would like to share some scriptures with you that have been pointed out to me that I feel will help us to understand what our journey's all about. Very interesting that each one of us have choices to make in life. And as we make these choices, we realize that we affect other people. And you're here because Jimmy Hasty affected you. He loved you. He showed you love. You experienced things with him that you didn't experience with other people. A very special man. And so these scriptures I'd like to read. I'd like to start with the book of Romans, the 5th chapter. The scriptures is verses 1 through 11. And I read from the New King James Version. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now received the reconciliation." I'd also like to read the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 8 and 9. And it says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of those scriptures. I have more, but I want to share a little bit about what Jimmy went through in life. And in the book of Romans there, what it shares, that trials and tribulations, he still had joy. The joy that Jimmy experienced was life. He enjoyed life. He enjoyed what he did. I remember the day I went to visit him in the hospital and the conversation we had. Now, that's probably the most Jimmy ever spoke to me, if you can relate to that. After he got to know you, he did talk to you, but he didn't really get to know me because I've only been here 15 months. But that day, it seemed as if he wanted to just share. And so I was all ears. And he told me about when he worked at the mill and how they had this willow timber coming in and they chipped it up and they built this building, and that was sort of his baby. And the thing about it was is that he shared about all his work experiences with me and how he loved that and the men he worked with and all the things he did. And he said, "You know, the good day was when I got to retire. They gave me a package that I was happy with and I was able to retire and settle in with the cows." I said, "Well, that's interesting. Settle in with the cows." He enjoyed being a cattle farmer for the last 20-some years. And so you all have many different experiences with him. But what he was sharing with me, he just loved life is what it seemed and appeared to me. He just loved life. Every time I saw him, he had a smile on his face.
Every time I greeted him, he was always grateful that he was here in church, and he was glad that I preached the message I preached, and he walked out with a big smile. And he said, "Have a good week, preacher." And I remember that. And that's great. Now, the thing that was fun to me was sitting down with his son and Miss Mary Olive and learning about his life a little bit. Because some of you might not know this. Some of you may be here because of this, though. Little League Baseball. The Dodgers, I believe, was the team. And the Dodgers, he took over that team, and they weren't doing very well at the time. And so he took over the team and became the coach, and they end up winning 2 championships in the next few years. Now, interesting that that happened, and I'm wondering, you know, I'm scratching my head hearing this from Mary Olive and Jim, and I'm going, well, listen, he was a Little League baseball coach, and then I guess he progressed up to the Babe Ruth as well, but he won these championships. I said, somehow he must have had some kind of baseball background. And surprising to me, and maybe to you, he walked on over at Auburn as a shortstop. I mean, he played over there a couple years, and I'm going, whoa, that's some kind of doings. You just don't walk on to a major college to play baseball. But Jimmy Hasty did. And so that shows you, it gives me a great insight to his character. Because to be an athlete at a Division I school, you have some kind of discipline. You have some kind of drive, motivation, and life. But I think as I reflect and think about that, I'm going, look at what he did. He accomplished. Like Jared said, if he said he was going to do something, he did it. He might not be on time, but he'd do it. He was a man of his word. What kind of man would that be? That's an honorable man. If you remember in life, used to be we used to shake hands, and that would be our agreement. Today, we have our friends, who I won't even mention anyway, but we used to go by our agreement, and there was a handshake, and that's the kind of man Jimmy was. He told you he was going to do it, he's going to do it. He came through, he followed through. And the thing I realize here is 49 years of marriage. You talk about perseverance. Not to say anything about you, Miss Mary Olive. But all of us that are married understand that term, don't we? You have to persevere. You have to hang in there. Times aren't always easy. They are tough. And he still had the joy of the Lord. The beauty is that, you know, we recognized on the 20th of this month, you know, that Jimmy, I want to say, rededicated his life to the Lord. He made sure without a shadow of a doubt that he knew Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And I think if there was a message from today that I want to leave you with, is I think Jimmy would say, please make sure you know Jesus. For not just your sake, but for your family's sake, for your community's sake, for your witness' sake. Because our witness to the world is that Jesus is the Savior of our soul as Christians. That's our witness. Jimmy lived his life a lot of different ways, just like you and me. If you think about life, do we fall short? I think the Scripture tells us we do all fall short of the glory of God. But I think the beauty is that we understand that there is repentance, and through the atonement of the blood of Christ, that we put it upon our hearts and souls and ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven. What a wonderful experience to be forgiven. And I think that's the perseverance of the marriage, and the learning of the marriage is that you forgive one another, even though difficult times are there, and you go through difficult times. And if any of you have had children, you understand. Life isn't easy with children. And therefore, what you do is you understand that you work together and you bond together, and the love that you learn about through all these experiences just heightens and gets better and better and better. And so Jimmy was that example, I believe. He lived out a life, and I'm sad to say I didn't get to experience the time of loading the hay, Jared. Listen, to be able to have that memory is wonderful. Yeah, can you come back and unload the hay wagon? Because the tire's flat. You need to reload it after. I mean, who else would ask you that? you know, after you did all that work yourself. Jimmy, you know. Very reserved and quiet and wonderful. He served in the military. That comes to my mind. Became E5 sergeant in the Army. In just a short time. Listen, in less than 2 years, you become E5. That's being obedient and doing what they tell you to do and climbing the ladder in the Army. And that's wonderful. That's another privilege to be a veteran. That he served his country. He had honor for his country. And that brings me to Auburn. When he walked out at Auburn, he always then remembered that school. Jimmy liked Auburn football. I don't know if you knew that. It might be a surprise to some of you. I think there's an Auburn flag flies at your house, I believe. It's Auburn football. Loved Auburn football. Loved attending the games early in his life. But lately he couldn't attend and watched Auburn football all that he could. Just loved the community. Yeah, loved people in the community. Auburn football wasn't everything, but it was a great thing in his life. Other things that he did, I don't know if you ever saw him shoot a gun, but he earned expert marksman in the military when he was in the Army with the M14 and weapons. So, you know, he had a good eye. Obviously, he had a great eye because look who he married. Isn't that right? You can say amen to that. That's right. What a saint of a woman and a wonderful lady. And you know, when two come together like that, and then they produce their wonderful children and then the grandchildren. And life is good with family. And they have a wonderful family. And Jimmy loved his children and loved, and he told me stories of the children and how he loved his children in the hospital. Now, I don't know about you, but as a pastor, it's great to hear that story of love. Even though life is not easy, the love is still there. And I think that's what we can see with Jesus. We look at our own life. We're not all the lovable people we're supposed to be all the time, are we? And then Jesus still loves us the way we are. And that's what Jimmy, I think, did. I think he accepted people for who they were. As far as the jokesters over here, I mean, there's the twins, I'm sorry. Jimmy must have enjoyed saying a few jokes as well. He knew how to pull your leg, I believe. Now, he didn't pull the pastor's leg. I want you to know that. He never pulled my leg. But it appears through what I heard that Jimmy could do that and actually pulled your chain a little bit. Now, other things that have been said, he liked to hunt for deer on his back 40 there. And as a young man, Jim used to go hunting with his dad and enjoyed doing that. But also, there's times of fishing. I don't know if you guys got to fish with him, but he enjoyed fishing as well. So I think what Jimmy really was, if you want to encapsulate Jimmy, is he just enjoyed nature. Because anytime you're going to farm cattle, you have to enjoy nature. Because they're a beast of the field. And that's what God created, and that's what Jimmy liked, and that's where he spent his time. And he just enjoyed being outdoors. But I don't want to cut that short, but I do want to read a few more scriptures that are important to the family for us to hear today. It's going to come out of the book of Romans 8 and 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." I'd like to turn to John 6 and 44. And it says, "No one can come to me," meaning Jesus, "unless the Father who sent Jesus draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day." And then in Acts 4, 11 and 12, it says, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders,
which has become the chief cornerstone. Verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then likewise in John 14:6. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If Jimmy was here today to be able to speak to you, he would say, hear those words and make sure you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior so that you too can enjoy heaven as He is today. And so we have a closing song together that we would like for all of us to stand together. It's Because He Lives. 364, if you need that. 364. And Jimmy's saying he does live. God sent His Son.
To find my pardon, I
Let us pray. O God, the Lord of life, the conqueror of death, our help in every time of trouble, who dost not willingly grieve or afflict the children of men, we ask that you comfort us who mourn and give us grace in the presence of death to worship thee, that we may have sure hope of eternal life and be able to put our whole trust in thy goodness and thy mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.